Okay, and we say welcome to Aida, who will introduce this section. And also, I think maybe you have seen that. Maybe there is a new technique and a technology Aida wants to use. But the floor is yours, Aida.
Thank you, Martin, and good afternoon, everybody. It's nice to see you again in this cozy setting today. And as Martin said, we are trialing having a little bit of fun during these sessions. And I see that 13 of you have already taken part in this little survey we have. And for those of you who haven't noticed the paper, it is just a little bit instruction of how to get online on this website, which is called Slido, slido.com. And all you need to do is type IFRS 13. Of course, this is assuming you have a device that has internet. Currently, you log them into our network. And there is a little question for you about disaggregation or aggregation of information about fair value. So if you like to do that, please do. If not, that's fine as well. So I'm going to be brief. I realize we're running over a little bit, and I don't want to keep you too much. I want to focus on the discussions we're going to have in the breakouts. But we have spoken to both GPF and CMAC about IFRS 13 in your previous meetings, and this was as a part of our what we called phase one of post-implementation review, when the board was gathering information about are there any matters that the stakeholders think need further research as a part of post-implementation review. So our meetings then were kind of comprehensive. We simply asked for inputs on any on all areas of IFRS 13. What the board has done since is, you know, they met, they discussed the feedback that was received, and as a result of that decided to focus the post-implementation reviews on four areas primarily. And that focus is reflected in the document that was published last month, which is Request for Information on Post-Implementation Review. So I'm just going to briefly outline these areas, and I'm going to invite comments on any areas that we are not covering in the breakout, because the breakout session is going to focus on disclosures, which came out as the single biggest item that people wanted the board to research further. But in addition to review of disclosures about fair value measurements, the request information includes questions in other areas. And, some of you were passionately arguing for these during our last meeting. So the first one is what we commonly all know as a P times Q, or more properly we try to describe as units of account when measuring fair value of quoted investment associates and cash generating units. I don't think I need to introduce this topic much further. Another topic that the board is researching is application of the concept of priced and best use. This is in the context of non-financial instruments. This is an area there was less kind of demand for in the phase one. Nevertheless, there were some stakeholders who were quite passionate about this being an issue requiring further research, and this is why the board has included it. Another area that is a focus of the request for information and the post-implementation review is application of judgments required when determining fair value of the instrument. And when we say judgments, there were two particular areas of judgment that seem to be, I wouldn't say problematic, but perhaps require further research. One is determination when a market is active, and this is quite important because it determines hierarchy in fair value measurements. So depending on that, you know, people decide whether the measurement is level 1, 2, or 3, and regard and related to that, also the level of disclosure that needs to be provided for the measurement. It also has a bearing on the P times Q issue. Another area of judgment is determining whether an input use in a measurement is significant. In other words, determining whether unobservable input that is not based on market is significant. And again, this judgment is important because it drives determination whether a measurement is level 2 fair value and level 3 fair value. And why is this important? Well, There's a number of reasons, and one of significant ones being there is what some have described the disclosure cliff when you go from level 2 to level 3 measurements. So if you judge that your inputs used in the measurement are significant and unobservable, you have to provide much, much more disclosures about your measurement than if you determine that this is not the case and that you have a level 2 measurement. And finally, there is another area that the board is looking to do further research in, and this is, I mean, it is strictly not in the scope of IFRS 13 because it deals with measuring specific instruments at fair value, and as we know, IFRS 13 doesn't tell us what and when to measure at fair value. It only gives guidance on how to measure fair value and what to disclose in relation to that fair value measurement. But nevertheless, there was quite significant feedback about this, and some of you mentioned this point at our previous meeting. So it is included as a question in the RFI, and it deals with understanding difficulties related to measuring fair value of biological assets and unquoted equity instruments. So as I said, disclosures are something we're going to focus on in the breakout. So what I would like to do now is just leave a couple of minutes in case anybody wants to make any comments in relation to these other areas before we go on to breakout session. And with that, no comments, I'm just going to introduce the breakout. So I am pleased to let you know that all our board advisors are here, and due to popular demand, Steve has also agreed to stay in IFRS 13. And Martin being a big fan of the So what we would like to do, we have a couple of slides on the breakout, which starts from slide 9 in the presentation. And slide 9 is just summarizing the objective of fair value disclosures and summarize the feedback that we had on the disclosures in the phase 1 of the post-implementation review. And in this feedback, just to remind you, there was a bit of contrast between views between stakeholders who were more linked to, let's say, preparer's side and the investors. And this is why we are really happy to have this session today, to have opportunity to understand these better. And this difference in views stemmed from there was a general perception when speaking to preparers that the disclosures are quite onerous, especially when you talk about complex business, that it can never be disaggregated in a way that it is useful, and therefore there's a lot of boilerplate information that ends up being provided that I think some preparers can't think of how can they possibly be useful information to investors. And particular guilty parties there, from what we've heard in phase one, were things like reconciliation from opening to closing. And bear in mind, this is all really about level 3 measurements, where we have most disclosure requirements. So the specific disclosures that I mentioned are, as I said, reconciliation from opening to closing balance. People also struggle with sensitivity analysis for significant unobservable inputs, and also sometimes disclosure of those significant unobservable inputs as well. On the user side, on the other hand, we didn't speak to that huge number of users, but we did have outreach in phase one, and the feedback was that these disclosures are indeed useful, but there was a shared view that they could be made more useful by perhaps disaggregating in a way that is better, you know, more aligned, and so on. So we're really looking forward to dwelling into this in the discussion, and to help us have this discussion. So we have, three sets of questions, and this is on slide 11. First set is about usefulness of information, and clearly targeted at users, but you know, we want preparers view as well to understand, is there a common understanding of what is useful? And then the second set is about what is particularly costly to prepare. Again, this is more focused on preparers, but again, interesting to see if there's a common understanding with users of what it actually involves to prepare this information. And then the final set is just a bit of brainstorming what could be improved, what possible improvements could we think of that would provide information that is more useful but not excessively costly. And to help us go through these discussions, which can be quite abstract when you're just focused with these questions, we did give you a private handout, which is comprised of three examples of fair value-related disclosures for three types of instruments measured at fair value. So we have labeled them examples A, B, and C. Example A is investment property disclosures, B is PP&E, and example C is financial instruments. And because these examples are quite long, what we have done is split them by groups. So if you are in groups 1 and 2, then you will be discussing first two examples. And if you are in groups 3 or 4, you will be discussing only the last example, the reason being that's the longest example, so you probably wouldn't have time to look at the others. But having said that, of course, these examples are just to facilitate discussion. We don't really intend to analyze companies as such. And if you want to really discuss your own experience and don't relate to them that much, that's fine. The idea is really to delve into these questions that are on slide 11. And with that, do we need to add anything?
Okay, thanks, Saida.